Song for Kashmir, sung by Naima Shalhoub, the artist who you will be, not so coincidentally, hearing from in a few seconds. But before we go there, let me just give a little background. Naima is a lifelong musician and artist who, believe it or not, only recently decided to make a go of being a career musician. The influences on her music range from her participation in many classical choirs to her work in post-colonial anthropology and feminism, to her roots as a Lebanese and Arab woman. As some of you know, I love to collect inspiring quotations, and her website has one that I really like. It says, "Even if hope seems crazy, I'd rather be crazy than give up." I caught up with Naima yesterday at the KPFA studio in Berkeley. I started our interview by asking about the story behind the first song listed on Naima's website, entitled Rise. But first, let's take a listen.
You down, you just gotta rise.
In my head, when I was listening to Rise, I felt like you were telling a story, and I just, for me, it said, you know, rise above haters.
Totally.
But I was totally projecting, so I was wondering if you could talk about
That's exactly it. I love the footnote, rise above haters. Yes, I actually wrote that song imagining what I wanted to sing to myself as a little girl and what kind of song I would want to hear to kind of help me, rise above, I think, feelings of inadequacy. And then, you know, I didn't have the language, but it was very much in my body. You know, my story is a lot to do with just feelings and shame trapped in my body. And I know shame is something that is still taboo to talk about, but most everyone that I've had one-on-one conversations with about shame can identify so deeply with. And shame is something that I've stored in my body since I can remember, just from being a human in this world, let alone different conditions that we face based on who we are and what we've been born into. So on a very superficial level, I was wanting to write a song to a little girl that might be facing things that I was. And it almost came out like a lullaby in a way.
So it's for a young woman who might feel similar feelings of shame.
Yeah, or just seeing how young girls, especially young girls of color in the U.S., specifically in my neighborhood right now in Oakland, you know, our eyes catch. And in that moment, I want to communicate this song to them. And in a simple form of a way where it can be translatable without getting too into the nitty-gritty of how things really are in the world, but
right.
Just enough for maybe a young person to catch and to be like, oh, wait, you know, maybe, you know, this is happening. And, you know, just having eyes open a little more.
I actually do think it's always helpful to have older people letting you know it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like whatever you're going through, it gets better. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Cry Freedom.
How many times do we get for cry out freedom? Oh. How many times do we get for cry out freedom? Oh. How many times do we get for fight for liberation? We say it over and over and over again. The earth it shakes, it trembles with a might, but the ones who get buried are the ones who always carry. They say it's a tragedy of only natural cause, but there ain't nothing natural about black people doing all the dying. No, 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 no. How many times do we get for cry out freedom? Oh, how many times do we get for cry out freedom? Oh. For fight for liberation, we say over and over and over, over and over and over. Do you see the daughter? Yeah, she just lost her mother, but she's got to go find water. There's no time to grieve. Is it hard to believe? Do you see the daughter? Yeah, she just lost her mother. There's no time to grieve. She's got to go find water. Is it hard to believe? We've got to
liberation.
Yes.
And it's beautiful, the note that you use. What's the story behind that song?
So actually in the first show I'd ever played since having this goal of doing this professionally was when the earthquake happened in Haiti in January 2010, a dear friend of mine who's Haitian, he decided to do a bunch of fundraisers around the earthquake, and he asked me immediately to be one of the performers to do this series of fundraisers for him. And so I said, yes, absolutely. But somewhere in me also wanted to not just write a song for the purpose of it, but I was really wrestling with what was going on and seeing it not just as this natural, quote unquote, disaster, but what happens socially, racially when these natural disasters happen. I mean, we saw it in Katrina, who bears the brunt of these burdens and the suffering that happens when these things happen. So I was thinking of and wrestling with what was going on there and how people were surviving and what they were dealing with and how the news was framing what was happening and just really seeing the Haitian people as these just survivors, you know, just such survivors and so resilient, such a resilient people from at least the stories that I've heard. So I end up writing this, writing the song Cry Out Freedom. And that the bridge in that song is, do you see a daughter? She just lost her mother. She had to go find water. That's actually based on a true story that my friend Jessica Hsu actually told me about, this girl who lost her mother and she didn't even have time to grieve. She just, her basic need wasn't being met, and so she had to go try to find water somewhere. And I'm like, okay, there's natural disasters that happen, but in terms of the effects that happen after them are very much political. They're very much social and cultural, political effects that happen. And so I was just wrestling with that.
That is so deep.
Mm.
Like, she doesn't have time to grieve because she's got to get some water.
Mm.
I'm like, whew.
Mm.
What about Herstory of Soul? By the way, I love that Herstory is in a title of a song.
Thank you. One morning I woke up and I had a conversation with a good friend of mine the night before about our practice as artists and as songwriters and the process of judgment that often comes up. And at least for me, sometimes when a melody or lyrics come up in my head, I'll be so quick to shut it down. But what would it look like if I just followed that strand? What would it look like if I just, even as a meditation, just kind of trusted where that melody was leading me? So I woke up the next morning with this melody in my head. I actually woke up with Let It Go Through Me, Wash Over Me and Touch Me, which is the chorus of the song.
Let it go through me, wash over me and touch me. Let it go through me, wash over me and touch me.
But at the time, I only had that. So I woke up, immediately the judgments come. Oh, what do you think? You know, what are you even talking about, Naima? It's like, okay, I'm going to actually experiment. What if I just followed that melody? What is it going to do? So I got up, opened my computer, opened up Pro Tools, and just started playing with the instrumentation around it, you know, and I just started playing with the different, you know, layering. In the process of the songwriting at that point is interesting. You know, I try a couple rhythms, I try a couple beats, it doesn't work, but when that sweet spot hits and I play something instrumentally that fits the melody and fits the mood, it's like, ah, I'm going somewhere. And so I just kind of kept following those aha moments, if you will, and started singing. And a few days before, I had written something about I'm living my life from this old place in me, which is the verse one, the new just met the old world in me. And now that I'm here, I realize it's been a long, long time. This is my Herstory of Soul. I actually wrote that, but not necessarily in song form. But I was working on this song and had the Let It Go Through Me, Wash Over Me part. And I was layering and structuring the song in Pro Tools. And I looked down on my piano and I saw that there. And I'm like, okay, I want to sing this. I don't know how it's going to come out, but let me sing it. So I started singing it, and it came out in that melody. I had already had the organ part written and the sitar at that point. It's now the oud, which is I like a lot better. But I didn't leave my room for 8 hours. I mean, I left to get a drink of water, but I didn't leave my room for 8 hours until this song just came out of me. And what came out was Herstory of Soul. And it was absolutely a summation of what I'd been going through personally and intimately in my life as a woman, reclaiming my own power from the sorrows and the shame that I had felt in my life from different things. And I was like, you know what? This song has to be the one that I release and craft as a single and work with someone to really master it. So that's kind of the story behind it. It's really my story of coming into my own freedom.
Coming back home.
from that old place in me that you just met. The old world in me. And now that I'm here, I realize it's been a long, long time. This is my her story of soul. Let it go through me, wash over me and touch me. Let it go through me, wash over me and touch me. Let it go through me, wash over me and touch me. Let it go through me, wash over me and touch me. Living my life from this place of freedom. My old fears have passed into the sun. Wash over me and touch me. Woo. Let it go through me, wash over me and touch me. Let it go through me, wash over me and touch me.
It seems like the other songs are, there's a part of you, but it's kind of about other things. And this is definitely about your journey.
It's extremely, extremely personal. It's interesting, though. I find a lot of people that I've listened to it, I've said they relate to it in some way. So that's very gratifying, you know, because that's my hope. That I know I'm just talking about myself here, but I'm hoping that since as an individual, I'm not just an individual. I'm a part of a community and part of a world. And so the hope is that a song like this could be of influence and inspiring to someone else. And I found that to be the case so far. So,
is the ultimate goal to be picked up by a label?
The ultimate goal is not to get picked up by a label. I wouldn't mind that if it's the right label and the right support, but I don't want to limit it to that either, because really, I think what I would love my music to do is to be able to share it on a wide scale in order to inspire people and in order to bring communities of people together. During that last time I was in Lebanon, actually, with my father for 2 weeks, we were staying with a family friend of ours. I got to really become close with their daughter, and she sent me a note about a year later, and it was after I had started posting my songs. At the time I had a MySpace, and I remember she sent me this note living in Cairo, and she's like, you know, Naima, I hope you still, thank you for posting this music. We need it here. And I know that's from her. It's even difficult for me to say that, because I'm like, how can, you know, me, this American Arab girl, you know, have any relevance to anyone, you know, living anywhere else? Or, you know, why would anyone care? But I found, you know what? Some people that do hear it find it meaningful and find it inspiring, and it's so humbling. But it's exciting to think that, okay, well, what I am investing into is actually rippling into the world somehow. And so I think my hope is that it just continues to do that. And I don't want to put any limits to what the dream is, but I think I would be really happy to live a life where I could travel the world sharing music, having real conversations with people, making money. I want to have a solid career for myself from my art, and I believe it's possible. I know a lot of times we talk about how hard it is now on the economy, but I don't really want to focus on that anymore. I was focusing on that for a long time, and that really wasn't getting me anywhere. So I'm trying a different strategy of thinking more positively and just focusing on the art and the craft and doing what I can.
So it wasn't until recently that you decided to really go for it and launch your career as a singer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What gave you the final push?
I was in a bar one night, and I had a friend who owned the bar, and he knew that I was a singer. And I had my ukulele with me, and it was like 2:30 or 3 in the morning. And he turned off the music, and there was like 60 people in the room. Kind of your typical, what you think of like a bar, just loud music, and it's smoky, and people are talking, and you know, and I'm in Beirut. And he turns on the music, and he's like, okay, everybody, Naima's going to play us a song. And I was like, what? So I was like, all right. You know, the little performer Leo in me was like, okay, let me do this. So I just got my ukulele and, of all things, sang a song in Spanish. And everyone loved it, and I was done, and people were coming up to me. They're like, oh, my gosh, are you a singer? Do you do this? And it started reminding me how much I identify with this part in me and realize that, like, I need to give the artist in me room to not only breathe, but to thrive and to really do this. And it was at that point I was like, okay, I'm ready to go back to the Bay and start doing this professionally. I don't know how, I don't know in what way I'm going to be able to sustain myself, but I just knew I needed to do it. So I came back, I studied sound healing a little bit, and it just kept meeting people, you know, that were interested in helping me move forward. I met a producer that helped record some of the live tracks that are on my website and just started playing shows, and it just kind of happened from there.
Now, why did you choose to go to Lebanon?
Well, my family's originally from Lebanon. My parents were actually born in West Africa in Sierra Leone. So I actually have more family there than in Lebanon. So the diaspora in my family is pretty large. But originally, you know, our roots are from Lebanon, as far as we know. So I had been going to Lebanon every summer since 2005. I skipped one summer, but been living there 2-3 months out of the year during while I was in school and doing quote-unquote research, but really just living and learning Arabic and just as an adult woman getting more in touch with my roots and what that means for me and my life. So that's why I chose to go to Lebanon, because I knew that I just needed to be there.
You just heard an interview with musician Naima Shalhoub. To learn more about her and or hear more of her music, check out her website at www.naimashalhoub.com. That's N-A-I-M as in mom, A-S-H-A-L-H-O-U-B as in boy.com. As a side note, after the interview ended, Naima and I continued talking about branding, identity, and how to make the best use of social media, which made me curious about how many of you, listeners, are independent artists. What spaces do you use to network? How have you managed to create a following? How do you maintain it? I'd love to hear your thoughts. You know I like interaction, so feel free to post on our blog, kpfawomensmag.blogspot.com.
Habaytek bisayf, habaytek bishadid, natartek bisayf, natartek bishadid. عيونك سيف عيوني شتي ملقانا يا حبيبي يا لي يا
heard the song Habaytek Bisayf, sung by Naima Shalhoub. Apologies if I totally butchered that. If you are just now tuning in, you are listening to Women's Magazine on 94.1 FM, KPFA in Berkeley, or online at www.kpfa.org. I'm Erin Mathewson. Up next, we feature an oldie but a goodie from our friends at Wings, aka the Women's Internet.